In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and God created the expanse. God went on to create all that exists, and it was good. It was good. But as we know today, it's become not good. So what happened? If God is good and his creation was good, what went wrong? If God is good, why do bad things happen to good people? If God is love, why did you lose someone that you love? Right? If God's faithful, why was your spouse unfaithful? If God's in control, why is life chaotic? Well, the main character of the book of Job, he asked questions like these. Job knew loss. He lost his wealth. He lost his belongings. He lost his health. He lost his family. Job knew pain. He knew suffering. And we all experience times where we feel like Job, right? Where our life is marked by loss and heartache and sadness. And we just want to cry out and we want to go, God, why did you let that happen? Right, God, are you even there? If you are, do you even care? Wouldn't it be nice to hear an answer? In a hard season, just to know that God is there, right? And Job did that. He called out to God. He asked how he ended up broken with all his hope poured out. He said, God, how did you let this happen? And God responded. He told Job to look up from his situation and to look into the fullness of God. Here's his answers. God says to Job, well, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements when the morning stars sang together? So God took Job back to the beginning. They took a trip back to creation for God to remind Job that he is the authority, he is the creator, he can handle our problems and our disappointment and our anger. So if you came in today lost or hurting or weighed down by something, what if just for a moment you looked up from your situation, you looked into the fullness of God to be reminded that he is the authority, he is the creator, he can handle your problems and your disappointment and your anger. But what happened this morning? If you came in weighed down with anxiety or sadness, you were told to stand up and sing. What? Like, can't you see I'm hurting here? And you're telling me to stand? I wouldn't have done it. I'm nice. Sarah, it's kind of bossy, and she told you, stand up and sing. I'm kidding. Sarah's not bossy. She's great. But we were told, and I do it a lot of Sundays, hey, stand up and sing. Why do we bless you? Why do we do that? Why do we sing? Does anybody want to know? I hope so. That's the question we're answering today. Why do we sing? I already slipped in an Easter egg to start answering it. Did you notice? Let's look again at God's answer to Job. He said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together? There was singing at creation. As God spoke everything into existence, there was singing. On the fourth day, God created the stars, said that it was good, and then the star choir began singing. Darkness was over the face of the earth. Then God created stars, and there was singing at the beginning of the world. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive to not just meet us where we're at today, but to change us and to draw us closer to you. So God, those places that we resist you, would you let your truth settle deep down into those places today? Would you use me in spite of me? Would you speak through me? Would you give us all ears to hear? And would Jesus be seen and heard above anything else? In his name we pray. Amen. Andrew Fletcher. He was a Scottish writer and politician in the early 18th century. He said, "Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." He knew public thought was heavily shaped by music, and he said, "Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." Music is powerful. I just realized something. My friend Sal is here today, and it's Sal's birthday, and I want to embarrass him and also just make his day better. So would you join me in singing happy birthday to him, to Sal, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Take it. Sal, happy birthday to you. All right, Sal, we love you, man. So how do you know that song? You knew the words and the melody, and it seemed almost like it meant something to you. Like you knew Sal's day would be brightened by you singing together in unity. And it's touching that you would do that for a stranger who doesn't even exist. There's no Sal. Not here. There's a Sal somewhere. Somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight. That was an illustration of the power of singing. I've got another one that you can't resist. Hit him, Lori. Come on, you know the words. You can't resist it, right? There's power in singing. I think my favorite sing-along I've ever experienced was in the eighth inning at Fenway Park. There's power in singing together, right? Songs have stirred political movements, they've protested wars, they've celebrated victories, they've mourned losses. There's power in singing. There's vulnerability in singing. Right? Singing is intimate, but it's also enjoyed by millions in unity. Bless you. So we're in the middle of a series explaining what we do when we gather as a church. So today we ask, why do we sing? What I'm tempted to do and what I would love to do is answer you from my feelings, to tell you tales from my 30-year adventure with music. There's a handful I can't share here, but to entertain you with those, to tell you I didn't go to either of my proms because I was playing gigs. Not that I didn't have a date, it's that I did have paying gigs, just to be clear. I went to college to chase down the magic of music. I spent some years as a professional musician, if such a thing exists. I lived my dream. I literally lived my dream and found how empty it is. Until I experienced the true intent of music, that's to glorify God. I began to understand why Johann Sebastian Bach signed all his musical compositions with the letters SDG, which is Latin shorthand for "To God Alone the Glory." I'd love to talk about the emotional aspects of music, how it's a mixture of science and barbecue, right? How it can engage your intellect and sneak around to engross your heart. We could talk about music theory and the feelings that come up when a certain succession of notes happens in a certain way. Is this on? I could tell you about the forbidden interval. Centuries ago in the church, there was an interval, that's two notes played together, that was banned. You could not play it in a church because it was too unsettling. Do you want to hear it? We can do it today. But at one time, this would have been so scandalous. You know, without it, Maria would still be a stranger. West Side Story. I just met a girl named Maria. And we wouldn't have the theme song for the longest-running illustrated show in TV history. I'll let you figure that out later. No. But I would love to address the art of music and the emotions it can stir up. But that would be based on feelings. And feelings cannot be trusted. And our question is not why should we sing or why should we feel like singing. Our question is why do we sing? Because as we saw, creation has always sung. And as we'll see, creation will always sing. So today, why do we join in? Our answer is in Psalm 96, which Ashley read for us earlier, which David wrote as a guide to praising God. So with our question, why do we sing in mind, can you guess the first word of Psalm 96? I heard sing, it is O. You're close. Sing was the second word. Psalm 96, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. So what I'm hearing is we should sing. Right? Psalm 96 tells us to sing a new song. But what if new things frighten me? What if new music makes me feel old and lonely? Well, Psalm 96 doesn't just mean a song that is newly written. It means a song that captures the crisp freshness of God's mercies that are new every morning. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. So if God's mercies are new every morning, we should be reminded of them every morning. So we sing to remember what God is doing. If you are a note taker, that's your first blank. We sing to remember what God is doing. Because we tend to remember what we sing. Facts that are attached to a tune tend to rattle around in the old noggin, right? You may have learned anatomy through songs, because it's not hard to find a song to teach you. Did you learn your anatomy? Head, shoulders, knees, and? Yep. The neck bones connected to the? That's why you're not my chiropractor, but. But we sing to remember. And what better to remember than God's mercies that are new every morning? We sing to remember what God is doing. So Psalm 96 goes on to say, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his salvation. We also sing to tell what God has done. We sing to tell what God has done. David wrote this in Psalm 40. Remember, David was a real person who lived on this earth, who made some big mistakes, who came to know the Lord, and was changed. So this is a real thing that happened. So hear this, knowing it's written by a real man. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit. He set my feet on solid ground, and he has given me a new song to sing. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. David knew that when people heard what God had done in his life, they would have hope for what God could do in their life. There's a story in the Old Testament book of Judges where the prophetess Deborah and the military leader Barak, not Obama, but Deborah and Barak led an army of God's people against their oppressors. And they won against unbelievable odds. So they celebrated that unlikely outcome with a song, and the song served to tell people what God had done. And one line of the song says, "To the sound of musicians at the watering places, there they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord." So we sing to tell what God has done. Verse 10 of Psalm 96. "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved." We live in a world that constantly moves. Opinions shift. Values change. Right? Success floats on the stormy sea of the economy. In our world, identity is an empty facade. But David reminds us in Psalm 96 that we, the church, we have a reason to sing because our hope is greater than this world. We sing because we have hope. We sing because we have hope. In Psalm 96, when it says the world shall not be moved, it does not mean this world we live in. It means his world. His rule and his reign will not be moved because he is on the throne. And he is still in control. He is still Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And when our hope is in God instead of this world, we have a song to sing. We saw it in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were unjustly thrown into prison. It wasn't arguing or threats against the guards that rang out in the prison that night, but Paul and Silas sang, praising God. And as they sang, an earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, opened all the doors, and broke their chains. Or how about the night when Jesus was betrayed and he knew this would happen? He knew who would betray him. He didn't spend that night going to his friend and say, "Hey, how about you not do that?" And he didn't tell the guys, "Hey, I'm going to teach a breakout session on how to be a good friend." What he did, he asked them to sing with him. On the night that would begin his journey to the cross, Jesus asked his friends to sing with him. And scholars believe what they would have sung was Psalm 118, which is the final Passover psalm, which says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." If that verse is attached to a children's tune in your mind and you left it there years ago, I just want to give you some context and just ask you to think about this. The night that would begin Jesus' journey to his death on the cross, he asked his friends to sing with him, and he sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." With his death on the horizon, Jesus not only sang, but asked his friends to sing with him because we have hope. Psalm 96 concludes with this image. In verse 11, it says, "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes." Creation anticipates the return of Jesus. So we sing because we have hope, but we also sing because we have a future. We sing because we have a future. And Jesus will return. And on that day, the trees will sing. So Jesus will return to the sound of singing. And nature can't help but sing because of the return of Jesus, where he will make all things new. So we sing today because of the hope we have in him. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, his followers were there shouting and singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And the religious leaders who were there, they were angered by this. They were probably jealous of this. So they said, "Hey, you need to tell those people to pipe down." And Jesus said, "Oh, if they were silent, the rocks would cry out." So in his presence, rocks will cry out, and trees will sing. So how much more should we sing because of the future we have in Jesus? I'm going to invite the worship team up, because can you guess what we're going to do after this? We're going to walk out in silence. But we began today by looking at singing in the very beginning, right? The stars sang at creation. So let's end by looking at singing in the future. Revelation chapter 5 gives us this picture of worship in heaven at a time yet to come. John writes, "I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one was able to open the scroll or to look into it, and I began to weep loudly. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" This is talking about Jesus. This is a description of him. It says, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God.'" So this scroll contained the fate of the world, and only Jesus can open it. The fate of the world is in his hands, the hands that were spread out on the cross to forgive you. And there was weeping in heaven because no one could open the scroll. But then when Jesus appeared, that weeping and crying turned into singing. Jesus appeared and a new song was sung. Now, this was written in Greek, and in Greek there are two words that mean new. One means new as in point of time, like it's fresh. The other word, which is used here, means new in quality, as in something that has never before existed. So Jesus offers life like you've never known can exist. He offers peace and joy and true contentment that only exists in him. Jesus offers you a reason to keep singing, to keep going. He offers you a reason to sing where your feelings invite you to despair. And Jesus, he's familiar with the trouble of this world. But he overcame this world. He knows the days are hard. Right? But like he did with his friends at the Last Supper, he invites us to join him in singing. He invites us to sing with him, "This is the day the Lord has made. And because of him and the hope and the future we have with him, we can rejoice in it." He invites us to look up from our situation and look into the fullness of God. He invites us in awesome wonder to consider all the worlds his hands have made, to see the stars, to hear the rolling thunder as his power throughout the universe displayed. He invites us to think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die and I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And he invites us to look forward to the day when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home. And there I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Because what happens when we look up from our situation and look into the fullness of God?
It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Oh my God, you're my God. When I in awesome wonder shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Yes.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How How great thou art, how great thou art.
Yes,
hallelujah. All creatures of our God and King, lift up our voice and with us sing. All praise Him, all praise Him. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. All praise Him, all praise.
Between.
That's pretty much it, right? We sing for what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Man, can you thank this team? Goodness. Wow. So in the book of Zephaniah, there's a verse, and it's a picture of who God promises to be when his people return to him. And it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you. He will celebrate you with loud singing." So we talked today about why we sing. So as you go today, just know that God sings over you. He's going to see you this week and go, "That's my son. He keeps getting knocked down, but he keeps getting up, and I'm proud of him." He's going to look at you and say, "That's my daughter. No one else sees her, but I do. I know her, and I love her." And he sings over you. So lift your eyes up, look up from your situation, look into the fullness of God. Leave this place, but go be the church with a song, because you have a hope and a future in Jesus. Amen.